from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Whether you're just wrapping up the night shift or on your way to start the day, we got what you need.
Welcome to the Morning Shift.
It's the most mid-team in history.
A whole new way to start your day with nationally televised reporter Tiffany Blackman.
Any pizza for me can be a personal.
Can't wait.
Former Falcons and Alabama offensive lineman Mike Johnson.
I've had my butt chewed by Nick Saban a few times.
You shut your mouth when you're talking to me.
And Atlanta sports radio guru Bo Morgan.
You know who I am? I'm Squid Bill.
You tell him I'm coming! And hell's coming with me, you hear?
It's a new experience.
And a new take on a sports morning show.
The Morning Shift is on.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Now, here's Tiffany, Mike, and Bo.
Good morning on this Thursday. It's the Morning Shift. We got Squid. We got Dylon. And he's not crying because he's weak. He's crying because he's been strong for too long. With Mike Johnson, and I'm Rob Tribble.
I love how you put that, man. I'll wear that as a badge of honor, if you will. No, man, I wanted y'all to chop up the Brave stuff there on the crossover, man. But then all of a sudden, I had to shake my head. I was like, man, did the show start?
Has anybody ever seen, y'all have all seen like Marvel and Avengers and Infinity War and Endgame or whatever?
Well, we have no choice. We're bombarded with it.
Mike's kind of got a Thanos head.
Thanos head? Is it a big head? I really haven't seen, I've seen like Iron Man. Hulk. I saw the Hulk.
So if you were to sit down with Grant McCauley like Ally Mack did. Remember, Allie was telling us that she watched the all the Marvel Avengers, and she watched them with Grant. Well, Grant will make you watch them in chronological order because that's who Grant McCauley is.
Oh, yeah.
You basically watched the first two in the order. It's like Iron Man 1, the Hulk, and then I think Iron Man 2 comes out or something. But, yeah. So you basically watched the first two in order.
But you can watch the Roadhouse movies out of order if you like.
There's no movies. You should just watch one Roadhouse.
the original.
Yeah, the other one.
The latest one, it wasn't. It was entertaining.
The problem for me is the Conor McGregor character.
He was so cartoonish and ridiculous, but it was just kind of absurd and funny, though.
But that was the point. There was no depth to that character, and there wasn't any really.
Well, there's not a lot of depth to Colin McGregor. I mean, he can't conjure something that's not there.
Well, that's true. But give me like a backstory, some kind of backstory. Like make it like where they could have written in one extra scene and given it some backstory. I'm sure that's what people want to hear at 6:05 is backstory about one of the worst movies ever made. But you could have added like one extra scene and added so much more depth. And that. the character that Jake, whatever.
Jake Gyllenhaal.
Jake Gyllenhaal, I mean,
how did we get here?
Dude, that was not at all what Patrick Swayze was in the OG. Patrick Swayze was, you know, he was like tough, and you just looked at him and knew he was tough. Yeah, he was small. That Jake Gyllenhaal character was kind of, I don't know. I guess that's where we are, and I don't know. I'm not going to get off.
Tell me, just in 10 seconds, tell me why I have a Thanos head. What does that mean?
Because it's big.
Oh, yeah. Well, I do have a noggin.
You do, but I just realized how big it is.
Yeah, what size is your fitted cap?
Either a 7.78, if I can get one big enough, or I shrink the 8. Shrink the 8. You know, put in the oven. Shrink that thing up. So, yeah.
I think it's a good 7 size. And an 8.
This
little
one's
BB head.
This one right here is from BigHeadCaps.com. Oh. BigHeadCaps.com.
And I don't do it to make fun of them. It just,
meanwhile, if it wasn't...
No, I know.
As far as you squid, if it wasn't for your ears, that cap would be around your waist.
Dude, I have got like the tiniest head. It is unbelievable. I mean, you can ask Mike because he's been at like some NASCAR events, and you go to the hauler.
Miserable for me.
Well, it's miserable for me too because I'll be like, man, look at that hat. And Mike, but yeah, it's pretty cool. And I'll put it on, and it'll look like I'm 6 wearing my dad's hat. You know, like, and he'll be like, yeah, dude, that don't work for you. He's like, that ain't working for you. Or Mike, tell me if I'm wrong, but there are some hats I can only wear backwards because they look stupid.
It's true.
And vice versa. Because some hats that my head's so small that when you make it fit you and you reverse it, you got this big little hump on the hat in front of it. And that looks stupid too. Not that I care how I look, but, you know, I don't want to look dumb.
Well, a pretty well played ball game last night. Entertaining ball game. Braves fall 3-2 to the Phillies. So.
The curveball was working last night.
Man, you could just tell Max. I could tell. You can always tell with Max how he's going to do. I think usually his first inning, you can just tell based on his breaking ball. And that's where, if he's getting a lot of ground balls from his breaking ball, it's good. And he was just cruising through. Not a lot of strikeouts. What do you have, like five,
four,
I think?
Four, yeah.
But just cruising. You get the two-run homer from Orlando RC. And
in a lot of ways, last night's game was a microcosm of the season, right? You get good pitching, you know, you hold the opposing team down, you even get runners on base, but you can't manufacture the ability to get them across the plate, and your only offense comes from the long ball. Yep. I mean, that's what this team has been. So it's funny how no matter how the faces change, you know, around this team, and Gio Urshela playing third base last night, you still cannot get guys across the plate unless you're hitting the ball out of the yard. 9 hits last night, 3 walks for the Braves, but just none of the clutch hits or ability to move the runners over.
You had Aaron Nola on the ropes last night.
You did. Mm-hmm.
You had him on the ropes, and you let him off the hook.
Yeah, well, I'll say this, and I know that we'll talk about the at-bat that Sean Murphy had at the plate with the bases loaded that, honestly, the first one wasn't a strike, and then he gave you this. He gave the second strike to Nola and then hit a weak ground ball. I thought the approaches last night at the plate were as good as I've seen all year from this team.
Oh, and it's all the base runners that you stranded.
Matt Olson came on with I think it was with two on, and, you know, this year I've seen him just forcing swings at pitches that he shouldn't swing at, and he had such good patience. I thought Ozuna's done a good job all year, but that to me was the worst part. Was I thought you had great approaches and you just weren't able to get the hit when you needed it.
You know, Marcell Ozuna, he should give probably a third of his income to Barry Bonds. Remember, Barry Bonds was briefly the Marlins hitting coach, and Ozuna was just a walking strikeout. Anything with a spin on it outside the zone, he was flailing and swinging. He kind of really just taught Ozuna how to hit for the most part, and helped him get that big deal with the Cardinals and, of course, coming
not
over
sure
here.
I'm sure I'd ever heard that story, yep. To be honest with you.
It's a good story, but then he got here and is...
He's using his bats, too. He had a long hitting streak with the Marlins back in 2016, like a 15-16-game hitting streak, and he was using Barry Bonds' bats.
It's probably the only guy that Bonds is able to help. If you hear any of the stories about Bonds as a hitting instructor, is that a lot of guys, when they dealt with him, it was hard for him to relate because he was so good with his hands. He was so good with his patience at the plate.
Yeah, it's like why great players don't usually make really good coaches, because it just comes natural to them. They can't impart what they know onto other players because it just comes natural. They can't necessarily articulate it. They just know how to do it.
I would love to talk to Ozuna about what happened last offseason before, you know, because he had talked about how hard he worked, but what got him back on track? Is it Kevin Seifert?
Seifert,
Sitzer, because I always get Why does Rick Kranix go out to the mound? Where's Rick Kranix at? I haven't seen him go to the mound in a while. It's always Abreu.
I know
he had something going on, but
I think maybe he still has something going on.
I thought it was a family thing, but I would like to know what he did to get back, because there was a 3-week stretch, I think early June, Rob, where he was swinging for the fences and he couldn't do anything, and he realized, hey, I got to go back to just trying to get hits, and then he got right back on track and has not lost track
since. Well, if you do what you're supposed to do as a hitter, the home runs come. If you have natural power, if you try to hit one, chances are you're not going to. Just try to make good contact.
Speaking of natural power, that fly out that Jorge Soler had late in the game when he pinch hits for Laureano right there, man. I was like, dude, this is the one. Like, this is
he
the
just
one.
Missed it.
Just missed it.
And a lot of people say, why are you swinging the first pitch? Well, he had a pitch hit. He liked it. He just missed it.
Yeah, and I mean, there's depth to these scouting reports, right? Yeah. I mean, you go back and look at what, you know, how many first pitch strikes you're throwing, how many of them are fastballs,
right,
what the scouting report is. And if you're a guy like Jorge Soler, who is a veteran hitter and has been in situations like that, it's like, I'm going to jump all over the first pitch. You know, if the guy's whatever he's throwing, it's like, you know, if I can expect something, I get something in the zone, I'm going to hit a tater. And he almost did. So anybody complaining about swinging at the first pitch, I don't necessarily agree with that. But there was a number of near misses last night for the Braves, man. It just seemed like there was the ability to mount an offensive attack multiple times throughout the game, and it just kind of flailed, just kind of fell apart.
Well, testament to how good Max was. If you combine the averages of the Phillies starters last night, they're batting like .360 against Max. Everybody in that Phillies lineup, for the most part, Kyle Schwarber struggled against Max, but everybody's .310, .330, and Trey Turner has owned Max Fried.
Yeah. You know what's funny is I was the curveball that he threw to strike out Schwarber in the first inning was just disgusting.
Oh, it was nasty.
Is it on the inside corner?
Yeah.
Backed it up? Yeah.
Yeah. And
that
I
was nasty.
My neighbor, my MGA partner, Carter, was at the game. We were texting, and I was like, that was, I had an expletive in there, but that was filthy, basically. And he says, why is he leading off? And I go, well, I'll say this. There's three things happen normally when Kyle Schwarber goes up to the plate: home run, strikeout, or a walk. The guy has got a .385 on base percentage. I don't think we've got a guy over .340. In fact, Ozuna leads us in on base percentage. And his on-base percentage is is 311. I'd say 381, excuse me, 381. So our best is 381. Schwarber, who's batting .248, is .385. Does not matter what your batting average is in today and A's. You got to get on base, and then someone hits a home run.
All right, yesterday the Falcons had an exhilarating, fulfilling, game-condition-type scrimmage. And we're going to hear from Kirko Shanes himself coming up next on the Morning Shift, Sports Radio 99 again.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
We're talking all things Atlanta sports and beyond. This is The Morning Shift.
Make some noise!
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back to The Morning Shift, City of Atlanta, where the richer you look, the broker you are. All those people driving in really nice cars, you ain't got nothing in the bank account. Have your $70,000 car and you're
refund
renting that.
Refund check, Rich?
Refund check.
Dude, I have gone through some rural areas in Douglasville and Paulding County and all around that, you know, all around this metro area. Ain't nothing like going by a trailer park and seeing a brand new Corvette out front, because I have seen it, and I'm telling you, I'm just like, tell you what, you know where most people see you, and that's on the road, not at home. So
I don't know if this is true anymore, but the per capita, the most popular vehicle for millionaires, especially men, Ford F-150.
Oh, I believe it. That's the most popular vehicle, period, I think. Yeah.
Well, I'm a Chevrolet guy myself, but you get power. And comfort. And there's something to be said about
and
that.
I'm talking, even when the trucks were simpler, not as souped up and luxurious as they
yeah.
are.
Yeah, I was going to say, they've gotten pretty crazy. Yeah, do y'all remember it was like probably 3 years ago when there was a flooding in Houston that the dealership was sending out trucks that were on their lot to help with to be generators, basically, because they have plugs in the
truck. Oh, that's right. That's right, yeah.
That was pretty crazy. I mean, talk about bells and whistles.
Well,
me and Squid could have used that outlet to do the show at Fire Branch a couple weeks ago.
We probably would have if we would have come down to that. I mean,
what happened? Y'all had power outage.
There was a power outage.
Oh,
at
yeah.
the Branch, man. We
you
had to
didn't
drive
hear about
back
this?
Here.
No.
Oh yeah,
that was a rough day.
I show up to the Branch. We'll tell it real quick. It's 5:03. I'm pulling up. Mike calls me, and I get up to right there at Hog Mountain, where you turn and you look right into the facility, and it's like dark. And Mike goes, yeah, that red light's out. The red light wasn't blinking, Rob. It was
completely out.
So I turn and go over there. We walked in the hub of the Hog Mountain complex, and there's no
football field.
There's no power. Normally there's power, like an
outlet.
What
did Will and the guard shack have to say about that?
Well, I mean, Will was probably, you know, I'm not going to say anything bad about that. I
Will would have brought us a generator.
I could have said so many ways with that. So I call the team, and they're like, yeah, this first, you know, some of the guys had PR hadn't heard about it yet because they hadn't been there. They've been without power since 8 o'clock at night. So we get into my truck, and that was the day we had cousins that we'd interview them. We get in my truck, and it's like 5:25 at this point, and we call Maria Martin, who was filling in. I said, Maria, you don't have to go back with us, but we have to. We gotta go do the show. She's like, I'll be there. And
team player.
Dude, we got in the express lane, and the WSAW status truck and trailer repair is E71. It got it. And it got us back all the way home. We rolled in here at 5:59, do the show.
Well, Kirk Cousins, yesterday, you want to hear how gratified he was, how exhilarated Kirko was about the way practice was carried out yesterday?
Oh, I thought you were going to talk about the water park. Oh, okay, yeah.
Let's hear from Kirko.
Glad he didn't get hurt.
Good scrimmage today. I just feel like that's the most valuable practices we can have when it is simulated like the game and it feels like the game. The more we can practice like that, the better from my perspective. I'm a limited perspective, but I love practicing like that.
There's something beautiful, guys, about the ability to actually compete and be rewarded for you know, excelling in competition that you don't normally get at practice, right? You go through, let's call it team pass. You go 11-on-11 team pass.
Yeah.
You know, you make a 30-yard completion. Oh, that's great. And then guess what? They spot the ball back at the same spot. And you just do it all over again. There's no, you know what I mean? There's no reward. There's no
payoff.
You don't
get to matriculate the ball down the field.
Yeah. So when I think what Kirk is talking about is you get in these scrimmage type situations and you feel gratified. And actually, I mean, it helps with a lot of different things. You can go through the playbook a million times. All right. But just as far as setting the huddle up, offensive line communication in the huddle, communication between Kirk and those guys before they kind of break and making sure everybody's on the same page, that's not something you get out of a playbook or in a meeting room. That happens on the field. So Kirk obviously kind of talking about these scrimmage situations where he can get it, you get the reward and actually move these guys down the field and get some live reps.
I think he agrees with you.
The big one is that the play affects the next play. So what happens is, and I didn't realize this till later in my career, is in practice, the way practice is scripted, it's all first and 10 for the whole period. I'll take a 12-yard sack and the next play's first and 10. That's not football. if I take a 12-yard sack, the next play is second and 22. And you need to have a plan for second and 22, but you never really practice it. So, and then the opposite is true. If you go hit a lot of times we hit an explosive play to Drake or Mooney, and then we're just right back where we started. And it's like, well, normally we'd be sprinting down the field and running our goal line offense out to punch it in. So you want to simulate that, and plays build on each other. And too many times in practice, the plays don't build on each other. You're just isolated, and it's as I say, each play is its own season. You're just trying to win the play. And that's not how football is played. Football is played factoring in the previous play, what the next play could be, the clock, the timeouts, what their defense is doing. So there's just a lot of other factors that when you're practicing in a more controlled environment, you're not thinking about so many of the things that as a quarterback you're constantly thinking about when you're in a real game.
Well, this is twofold. For one, you're practicing all those things, so you have the reps and you're comfortable doing it. But then these scrimmages like this, it's why we've talked so much about when you do a joint practice, right? And you're doing some of this. This is replacing, you know, the four preseason games, and you have your starters playing two of them, right? So at some point in time, or now then it went to three, and you have your starters playing one, and now it's three. And a lot of teams in the league, not all, but a lot, the ones that aren't going through position battles at certain positions, are like, we're not playing anybody. And this today they have a day off because they play tomorrow. This was for the starters. This was their preseason game three. Yep. This was the game to me, or this was the event to me, or the scrimmage, or the practice, or whatever you want to call it.
How many of these have they had?
I think more than you realize. I would say probably maybe a couple, probably one a week since they started playing preseason, because one was a joint practice.
And it's tough to tell, man, because you do have periods during practice called move the ball, where you know that's literally what you do. You just spot it down the field, but it's not necessarily a scrimmage like he's talking about. You don't go straight into your goal line offense. You just kind of move it down the field. For instance, obviously me being a depth piece at offensive line and playing tight end and then being like a tight end on a field goal team and things like that. As you move down the field, think about it. When you go to tight end and back and forth to an offensive line, I'm turning around and looking at the referee and going, hey, I got to report eligible. You don't necessarily do that in a drill, right? So when you do hit the 30-yard gainer like Kirk's talking about, you have to remember, oh, man, the field goal team's trotting out. It's fourth down or there's 2 seconds left. I have to make sure that I think about turning around and saying, hey, man, I'm eligible. I'm eligible for this play. I'm eligible. Kind of shake your number, get in the referee's face. That's also why they have referees at practice, right?
Well, since you're a first teamer and not playing during the preseason, how chaotic do you think it'll – and how long will the chaos last week one?
Well
– as far as personnel, all the things.
I think that what you have here is you have a veteran offense, right? And I mean – and I say veteran. I know that Bijan will be a fixture. Running back, I don't know how much they fit into that slot. 9 times out of 10, if the running back even lines up wrong, right, you're going to have the quarterback be like, nah, man, you're right here. You know what I mean? So that's not really a thing. You have 5 returning starting offensive linemen. It won't be chaotic up front. Those guys are taking a million snaps next year, 1,000 snaps next to each other last year, right? A lot of that same group.
Not to mention a quarterback that's taking tens of thousands of snaps.
And I was going to say that the main thing is that – the difference between this year and last year in that instance, Rob, will be the fact that Kirk Cousins is not going to allow this team to line up wrong.
Yeah,
like, he's just not. He might as well be, and it's so cliche. He might as well be a coach on the field. Kirk Cousins is going to be like, nah, man, we're in Trey Wright, not Tripp's Wright. We're in Trey Wright. You got to get tighter. You know, you got to get tighter to the line of scrimmage. You got to get tighter to the tight end.
I think even more subtly, since he's going to be so good at that, you're not going to have to be forced to use a timeout when you don't want to use one. Maybe, hopefully.
And this is why. When people scream, well, yeah, he might, but he's old, and he's only got one playoff win. And it's one of those deals where, yeah, but you know what? It's like Tom Brady said, I think Don Shula said it years ago, but I think the number has shifted that quarterbacks when they're prime from like 30 to 34 or something. And then Tom Brady was like, why would I quit? I got all the answers to the test these days, right? It was his saying, I think that was him that said it. These guys, you figure out, at this point, you pretty much know what every defensive coordinator is going to try to throw at you for the most part.
Well, there's nothing Kirk Cousins hasn't seen on a football field.
Dude, and that's really – it's so frustrating when you hear he's old. What does that have to do with anything? He's still got great velocity on the ball.
Yep.
He understands the game at an immensely high clip. Would you welcome Aaron Rodgers in here at 40? Probably.
Mm-hmm.
Would you love to have Matt Stafford in the fold? Yeah, I think I probably would.
Well, what's the difference in him and Matt Stafford?
Nothing, to be honest with you. I mean, Matt Stafford's probably got a little bit stronger arm.
Well, I should clarify, when he came from Detroit, I know that Kirk's been on some good teams, but Matt Stafford had never won a playoff game when he went to L.A.
And he never will, right?
You know what? I was wrong. I was like, Matt Stafford, everybody said, oh, they're going to win the Super Bowl now. I said, you probably need him to win a playoff game before he wins the Super Bowl. And he did. He won two and then won the Super Bowl.
It doesn't mean he can't.
Doesn't mean he can't. But there is something. The one thing that when people see Judon and Simmons sign, and they're like, oh, see, 12 wins. And I think they got to learn how to win games. Sometimes you got to learn. And it's still, this is a team that has a core that hasn't won a lot. And I do think they need one of those first three games. They're going to need to kind of hit that. It's going to need to click with them to win a tight game like that, a playoff style game, and that's what you're going to get when you go to Philadelphia on a Monday night and then come home to Kansas City and Patrick Mahomes.
Well, let's hear Kirk. He's talking about the new acquisitions: one Matthew Judon and Justin Simmons.
Yeah, I mean, I've played against both of them and watched a lot of tape of both of them as you know watch defenses around the league, and they're both real deal players. So we're thrilled to get them. I think they'll be a great asset. And, we just got to get them up to speed quickly so that they're really comfortable and can play fast. That's the key, is that you're so comfortable that you can really play really fast when you see things, you go, because you know what you need to do.
I would love to know, and breaking news, we were not at practice yesterday. But it just seemed like last year, Bo, as we got through training camp, it continued to be a worry for both of us talking through Desmond Ridder and Arthur Smith's offense that we really haven't seen any passing plays down the middle of the field. Kirk Cousins, you absolutely have seen that throughout camp. But I have to think with Justin Simmons and Jesse Bates patrolling center field right now that it adds an extra layer of comfort anytime you see the ball go down the middle of the field.
The first time I met Zach Robinson, you walk over and he put his hand out. I was like, are you going to run the shallow drag route? I need a crossing route. Yeah. I need it badly. And he laughed. He was like, I got you, man. I got you.
Run the dig.
I got you. I mean, it's just simple as that, because we didn't have them, Rob. It was you had a guy running a post and a guy running the go route, and most of the time they'd run into each other.
All right, coming up in TB's timeout, there would be no Georgia football. There'd be no Georgia Tech football. There'd be no Kennesaw State football or West Georgia Wolves football without Roslyn Gammon. Coming up next, Morning Shift Sports Radio, 99 again.
Good morning.
Yeah!
Back to more of the Morning Shift
with Tiffany, Mike, and Bo on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back to the Morning Shift. Triple in for Tiffany. This hour brought to you by Morgan & Morgan, America's largest injury law firm. Go to morganandmorgan.com.
I got to tell y'all, man, I'm a little bit disappointed in myself. Our buddy Brandon Mincy tweeted at me at a screenshot on his TV from, it looks like, 2012 game against the 49ers. Lined up at tight end. He's like, what play was this? And I've always prided myself on situations like that, being like, oh, of course, that was, East Peter or something.
Sean McVay would have known. Yeah,
I cannot recall. All my memories from back then are Michael Turner. Jason Snelling's in the backfield. Roddy White's next to me. I'm right next to Claybo. I have no idea what we were running. Absolutely none. So now I'm curious. I was like, hey, man, I'm guessing this happened, but hey, keep me up to date. Now I'm invested in it. Now I don't want to know how the play turned out.
Now you're going to go down
the
wormhole.
Hopefully I didn't get, reverse pancaked. But, nonetheless, I'd love to know what happened.
Well, as you're talking about football right there, we would not have football if it wasn't for Roslyn Gammon and Teddy Roosevelt. Let's do a TB's timeout.
It's time for a timeout on the Morning Shift. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Well, gentlemen, the year was 1897. The Georgia Bulldogs opened up the season with shutout victories against Clemson and Georgia Tech. And Georgia had this player named Vaughn Gammon, athletic kid. He was considered a really good athlete for his time, played baseball and tennis. I guess fast twitch, as much as fast twitch could fast twitch back in the day. And Georgia's playing Virginia here in Atlanta. And Vaughn Gammon kind of, football was back then. Everybody's just bunched up on the line of scrimmage. No neutral zone, nothing else.
It was a rugby pile.
Well, Vaughn Gammon threw himself into that pile. Bunch of dudes landed on him. He landed on his head. They took him to Grady Hospital. He passed away.
Oh, God.
And there was outcry all over the state. This game's too violent. We have to end it. And there was actually a bill brought up in the state legislature to ban football. You know who rescued college football in the state of Georgia? His mother, Rosalind Gammons. She knew how much he cherished the sport, and she could not live with herself if she knew the sport would go away because of the death of her son. She wanted it to go on because of the death of her son. 1905, there were 18 deaths in college football. And one of the most grisly injuries was Teddy Roosevelt's son, who was president at the time. He suffered a horribly broken nose, almost disfigured face. And that's when there was a nationwide outcry to ban college football. Teddy Roosevelt entered in, said, no, we have to save the sport. We have to amend the rules. So what happened? They created a neutral zone. They spread out the formations, brought in the forward pass, and that actually led to the creation of the NCAA. So Rosalind Gammon, Teddy Roosevelt saved football as we know it. 18 deaths in one season in football. Can you imagine that?
I'm so curious, like, where the root was for some of those. Like, were they collision-related head injuries, or was,
yeah,
were there
it was,
also...
It was mostly... Yeah, it was that.
Were there also, like, conditioning, hydration issues?
You know, I bet
like
there were a lot of contributing factors. Poor coaching, poor technique. A lot of things could lend to that. A lot of broken necks.
Terrifying.
Traumatic brain injuries.
It kind of reminds you, and I'm not saying it's the same because these were actual deaths, but it was, you know, it kind of reminds you of the early days of UFC when everyone went after it. Remember it, when it was...
Oh, it was a little too much.
And they were able to... They were able to take it and evolve the sport.
I like that amendment you added there.
And make it safer, but yet keep the violence.
I was trying to tone down the word violence.
But yeah,
the gladiator aspect that we love.
It used to just be you would fight in a it was a tournament that all happened one night, and there were no time limits or anything. There were no weight limits, nothing.
Well, to your point, I mean, you know. This is not even remotely the same kind of like you said, but there are a lot of people haven't liked NASCAR since the 90s because it doesn't, it has all the safety aspects.
Restrict your plates.
Well, you can't, you know,
Hans
you're not going to,
right,
you're going to try to
barrier.
Keep it under 200. You're going to keep the cars on the ground. They do everything they can to make sure these cars don't go airborne, even though they still do and did last weekend. Yeah, the Hans device, everything else. I mean, the clothes, face masks, the, you know, the window nets, everything else. When you see, you know, there's certain guys, you know, Dick Trickle's lighting a heater in the thing with the open face mask and you know, wearing
as they're
no goggles.
Fueling.
Yeah. Well, how about Dale Earnhardt on a caution lap? I think it was at Richmond. He climbs out of his car. He's driving with his knees and he's wiping his windshield off. and it's if you go check the footage, I think it's Richmond. It might be Martinsville or something. But
yeah, it's definitely one of those.
He's cleaning it off. I went to my parents Monday after I left the show, and we were watching me and my mom were watching the Michigan race. Right, my mom goes, "Why do they got to take their steering wheels off? Why are they removable?" And I said, "Because they can't get out of the car unless they do." And so they finally showed an in car view, Rob, and you don't your head doesn't move left or right anymore. You're just so locked in there, and you're so close to everything because of safety issues.
Yeah. And it is funny, too. Like I said, I mean, you look back at some of the old NASCAR things, and it goes along the UFC and the football stuff you're talking about. There was, I mean, up in, you know, the 80s, you can see guys pitting cars with no helmets on, backwards hat. You know, there's cars flying past and probably no speed limit on pit road at that time. You're like, these guys have lost their freaking
mind.
Yeah! They're just standing out on pit road while the race is going on. You know, like all kinds of crazy stuff. And it's funny because you've put all that, you know, you've put rules in place to keep safety, and sometimes it doesn't always translate to some people, but you look at some of the numbers, like you said, man, 18 deaths in one college football season, that is absolute insanity.
There's like 45 over like a 3-5 year period, and like I said, you know, they had that, there was a bill in the state legislature to get rid of college football, vetoed by the governor due to a letter that Rosalind Gammon wrote to the governor. So.
You just and also you said they opened wins against Georgia Tech and Clemson. I'm like, was that at Piedmont Park? You know, was that, I always walk past the thing about the Auburn Georgia game being
played.
Right. Piedmont.
Yep, first few were played at Piedmont Park.
It's crazy, man. It's mind boggling. There's a park over in Birmingham, very similar. The first Iron Bowls were played, just some random Highland Park or whatever it is over there in Birmingham. It's the same thing. It's the same kind of statue and thing standing there. It's crazy.
And Georgia Auburn played a few games in Columbus too, if I'm not mistaken. So. This hour brought to you by Morgan & Morgan. What's that?
I was going to say, there was a time when Alabama played home games in Mobile, you know, every now and then. Yeah, they'd go down to Mobile and play a home game.
The site of the original Mardi Gras.
That's right.
Ask people from Mobile, they'll tell you.
No, they take pride in that.
All right. What's this with Lorenzo Carter? What are we going to do? Well, he was on with Andy and Randy yesterday, a very hungover Andy and Randy after their night at Truist.
Andy's voice sounded like
he's so raspy. He'd smoked two packs of cigarettes.
I wanted to text him, be like, "Hey, I hate to call you out, man, but you look like you drank a bottle of whiskey and screamed it in the elements all night."
Coming up next on the Morning Shift, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.